Today's reading scripture is 1 John chapter 4, verses 19 and 20. We love because He first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ and members of 10,000 branch churches around the world, local sanctuary members, and those who are attending this service through satellites and internet, and GCN TV viewers, this is the 45th session of the lectures on the 1st John. Continuing from the last session, let's look into the 1st John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. Those who have cultivated true love do not seek their own, but they can sacrifice themselves for others. They can also give their love not only to their family and close friends, but they can give the same amount of love to everybody. And such love does not change in any situation. If we cultivate such true love, we won't have any fear in our heart. We are confident because we would not seek our own, but practice goodness and truth all the time. Because we would not sow anything in evil, we have no reason to be afraid of facing a disaster. In actuality, even if there is a problem in life, God will guide us to the way of blessing because He searches our goodness and love in our heart. On the contrary, those who haven't cultivated spiritual love but seek their own, thereby violating the commandments always, have a sense of nervousness, fearing something bad might happen. For this reason, Proverbs 28 verse 1 says, He, wicked, flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Those believers who love God and keep His commandments completely, they are not afraid of any disaster on this earth. They do not fear death either. Those of you who are like this, with this kind of heart, you are confident as you look to the sky or look down on the earth, ground, and you will surely keep the law of this world, not only, but also the law of Father God. So you do not fear. Let's say there is thunder, and there are people who are surprised. It reveals you have fear in your heart. But if you live your life without such fear, I mean, if you're confident wherever you go, since you don't have any fear, even if there is a sudden sound like the thunder, it has nothing to do with you. Even if somebody surprises you, you are not surprised at all. But this applies to unbelievers too, to some extent. Even in the times when gospel was not preached, those who were righteous and, you know, had no shame in their conscience, lived upright and confident lives. We can see it from history. They don't fear even when they are passing the places that are said to be haunted. Of course, you know, those God-believing people do not fear in the demons, right? I mean, do you? Are you afraid? There is a horror movie, like, and are you afraid? It's nothing, isn't it? Is it? Even when they were threatened by others, they don't act with cowardice, but committed everything to heaven's will. On the contrary, those who did many evil things had a lot of fear too. If they used in the schemes and did many evil things to get power, they worry about being revenged. They always worry that somebody take away their power or that they might be assassinated. We can see this from in our history. There were many kings who were nervous and afraid. The third king of Joseon Dynasty, he killed many people. He even killed his own brothers. So he lived his life, always in fear. He worried about being, poisoned or assassinated. Now, what about, seventh king, King Sejo? He lived in fear too. He was being afraid of being, assassinated, not to mention, poisons. He lived his life like that. So if you remember those kings who did, many evil things, who didn't walk the right path, they always lived in fear and worries. We can see this from Chocho in Three Kingdoms. They are afraid of demons and death, and they are afraid that they will be betrayed by their trusted people. So they were afraid of being, betrayed. So they couldn't even trust those closed ones. While they were sleeping, they might be, they woke up in the middle or kill. They intentionally, kill people like, as if it was like a sleepwalking. Conclusively, fear usually does not only come from, externally fearful situations, but basically from the darkness they have inside them. It is even more so in the truth. Those who dwell in the truth completely and who love God truly have no fear in any given situation. I said perfect love casts out fear. Even when they have concerns, they do not lose the peace deep in their heart by trusting and relying on God. If you remember the reminiscence, the show on GCN, there were many things that you could be truly afraid of. Physically, in a fleshly sense, you might be imprisoned. You might be assassinated. You are actually, threatened to death, right? In often case. But people who are in close proximity haven't seen me afraid. Because I got never afraid. I was afraid of no one when I went to Dubai or China or Pakistan or India or wherever I went, I've never afraid. Even if there was death threats. And I was not afraid. I fear only one, our Father God. But I am not afraid of Father God, so there is nobody I can be afraid of. How did the disciples act after the Lord's ascension? The Apostle John was thrown into a burning oil. Peter was crucified upside down. But they didn't fear such things. They just believed God would give them a way out or work for the good of everything because God was on their side. Furthermore, even though they didn't get a way out, but suffered for the name of the Lord, they didn't fear any pains or death because they loved God. But even though you have faith, how is it if you have not cultivated perfect love. You are not forced to be martyred for the Lord, or to be crucified, or to be killed by lions, but you still find it hard to go through the little trials. You are anxious, and you become worried about how to overcome such a things, or you fear that greater hardships might come. Even though you pray to God, you don't have confidence in heart, and you are nervous about whether you will get an answer or not. So, as you receive my prayer, when you got healed, I mean when you receive my prayer because of your disease, sometimes you feel worried or anxious. It means you haven't cultivated perfect love in God. So, if you do, then you should know this. You got no perfect love. You may have wall of sin before God. That's why you cannot become confident, but, you know, become nervous. In any given situation, I mean, there are so many diseases, right? Countless diseases. And you have no idea any kind of germs or diseases or airborne diseases may sneak into you, germs and viruses. So, you have to, if you don't believe in Father God 100%, then you may have fear. Because you are worried about, you know, being, you know, caught by those germs and viruses. But I haven't. So from this altar, I can told you with courage, with confidence. I've never thought about being caught by those, you know, diseases or germs and viruses. So I got no fear. I'm very confident. In any given situation, the enemy, devil, and Satan cannot work on me. They cannot do anything. Not a single disease can sneak into me. I'm confident about that. Even if somebody tries to poison me, it won't do any harm to me, no matter what it is. I just drink and survive. Father God protects me, for sure, I believe. So if somebody poisons me, no way. It means you don't love God and you don't trust the love of God to that same extent. And that's why you are not confident whether you're going to get answer or not. Such people must have a wall of sin. Otherwise, there is no reason to be anxious or worried. So they don't trust God, they don't love God to that same extent. True children of God that God desires are the ones who love God to the utmost degree and who trust Him completely. Only when you have perfect love and trust between you and Father God, you know, can you enjoy perfect peace. So in any situation, you have to check whether you have joy or peace in your heart. How much do you, I mean, if you trust and love Father God, you will be like this. Before the trials, Job was upright and honest. And he never, I mean, he revered God. He was upright and honest. So he revered God. So he received blessings according to his deeds. In a fleshly sense, he was spotless. So he received blessings in his life. It is the same with you. If you, even if you come into a spirit and a whole spirit, if you are blameless and spotless, if you don't obey, if you kept the word of God, and the word of God and the law of God, and if you are faithful, then to that extent, you will receive blessing. However, that's not true, complete spiritual blessing. To receive that, you have to come into a spirit and Holy Spirit. You need that process. There must be. And even since you don't reach that point, you cannot expect even greater blessing. Nevertheless, because he didn't have any perfect love in his heart, he didn't have true peace. Instead of experiencing the joy and the love of God and in loving God, he lived a life in fear of God, who can punish. Then, when the accusations of Satan were loud and he began to suffer, he said, "What I feared came upon me." You should revere God. You should fear God. If you don't live by the word of God, if you don't live in the light. But those who don't fear God, either they don't know the truth at all. They don't know about God. Since they don't know, they don't fear. So, it's not good. At the end, they will be judged in the end, for sure. It is a sin. Of course, it's a little better than knowing the law but committing sin. It means he lived a life in fear of disasters even when he was at peace. And brothers and sisters, even very good children, and if they don't feel the love of their parents and only fear the punishments of their parents, they cannot become joy to their parents. The children will be unhappy as well. God the Father opened the way for Job to free himself from fear. In other words, through the trials, God let Job rid himself of evil in his nature and experienced the love of God. So, the trials meant blessings. Without such trials, otherwise, without those trials, he must have lived in fear, right? That way, God let him understand the heart of God deeply and to love God from his heart. So, you have to cast out such fear to cultivate the perfect love, and your confession of love can be true. What about spiritual love? If you have no fear, say, not fleshly love, but if you have spiritual love, you will have no fear. Since you give fleshly love, you fear. If you give spiritual love, you fear nothing. Now, Job could enjoy true peace and happiness in that love. You met God. You truly met God. You broke down the wall of sin. You got rid of sin. So you got no fear. Then you can have true peace in your heart. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, those who run business, if you have fear as you run your business, or if you don't feel good, then it means you don't stand right, upright before God. If you walk the right path, if you live in the light, and as you run your business, then you will have no fear. As you pray, you will overcome all in hardships. Something is not right with you in your life course, in your business way. That's why you face difficulties and problems. Like, even if you don't steal from people, if you have selfish motives as you run your business, you try to get more profit in not in proper ways. Even if it goes well, you fear, and then things will not go right. worldly people may have may experience, you know, some, you know, financial, you know, some wealth, and they're doing this way. In big, you know, enterprises in this country, the CEOs of this country always had fear as they ran their businesses. That's why, you know, they tried to have connections with the politicians. And they, because, you know, they were surprised. When a secretary of the president or the national security, like in KCIA, you know, gave them a call, you know, they got fear. Why? Because they didn't walk the right path. No, they extended their business, right? They expanded their business. But they didn't do their business with their own money. If they cannot make loan, if they couldn't make loan from banks, you know, they couldn't expand their business. If banks stop giving them a loan, because, you know, the loans could be permitted by the government officials, you know, and they cannot run their business, they would be bankrupt. So they always ran their business in fear. So, do you think it is a right way to live your life? No. They always become nervous and worried all the time. Dear brothers and sisters, there is one more thing you should remember. If the truth is in you completely, you don't have fear. And always in your given life, if you have truth in you, you will have no fear. But if you haven't accomplished sanctification, and you, if you are not in the spirit or whole spirit, does that mean you should always live in fear like Job did? Of course not. If you are riding on the flow of spirit and trying your best to cast away sins and evil, you can lead a comfortable believing life in your measure of faith. Of course, you might face trials that are the result of your sin. Or even though you didn't commit any sin in action, you might face trials to realize your evil, like in Job's case. But in such cases as well, you don't have to fear anything. Even though you have a test because of your fault, God will give you a way out if you look back on yourself immediately and repent. If you turn away like this, God gives you a way out, so you can be thankful. Also, even though you suffer for a moment due to the trial, you can grow up in faith to the extent that you realize yourself and change. So, you can give thanks for this too. In the past, there was no reason for a man of spirit to be sick. That's true. There is no reason to be sick. And they cannot be sick. There is no reason to be sick. Now, aren't they truly sick? Sometimes they got sick. And you should know the reason. Why the people of spirit get sick? Since they don't commit sin, they don't get sick. There is no reason to be sick. Not a single germ or virus can sneak into them, because the angels protect them. However, chances are that they may get sick. Why? They don't get protected. Now, why is that? And you should know the reason. Under the allowance, under the permit of God, you know, they got sick. And that disease is a blessing. It is allowed by God. So such a disease is a blessing. Will turn out to be a blessing. Because Father God allowed it. And there must be reason for Him to allow it. And through that, they can be stronger, or they can grow their faith. To Father God, and it is more important to increase their faith through trials or diseases, or you know, they can increase their heart vessel. As they overcome them, they can have a greater heart vessel. It cannot be done automatically. That's why God allows them to face trials, such as diseases. And Father God allow them to overcome them by faith, so that they can increase their heart vessel and their faith. So, God-given trials, you don't need to fear. Father God knows. And if you overcome it by faith, it turns out to be blessing. However, when I said people of spirits cannot get sick, it means since they don't commit sin, they don't get diseases due to their sin. It is a rather blessing permitted by Father God. So you have to understand it right. Well, people of spirit, do not get sick, but they get sick. Why is that? You don't know what it is. Father God does not give them trials. But you know what? In the Bible, you can find those cases, such as the case of Job. It is a trial to receive blessing. It is not trial because of your fault or your wrongdoing. It is a trial to receive blessing allowed by Father God. So you have to discern it well. Otherwise, people's spirit do not get sick. That's what I heard. But they got sick. What's happening? So you have to discern it well. And people of the fleshly people and then spiritual people are different. People of spirit can overcome it easily. Why? Because there must be a reason why they face such trial. So they have to find the cause. It's not a sin. So it's easy to find it. I mentioned Deaconess Jin Lee, right? The pianist. She didn't commit sin. However, in her thought, she might have wrong discernment, and she would not have solved it right if she had not faced trial like this. So in the end, it would turn out to be a blessing. Someone told her what happened. Because she is connected with me, so I taught him. Otherwise, it might last, even if she prays. Someone can teach her right away. So people of spirit need people of whole spirit, because people of whole spirit can teach them what's going on, and they can get the answer for them. So, the outcome is a blessing and thanks. Without such trials, they may stay in the level of faith that they are currently in. They cannot increase their faith. So they have to overcome this moment, and then they can see their faith grows up. So you have to discern it well. Well, men of spirit can get sick too. You should not judge, okay? Furthermore, if you are going through trials because of evil deep in your nature, you can go into a deeper level of spiritual realm by understanding the will of God from your heart. So you can be thankful again. So, through such trials, you can find evil nature in your heart. One more thing. People of spirit can be sick, okay? They can get diseases. There are two cases to help them realize something. God gives them disease. Or, by their own mistake. Well, there are different kind of mistakes. In a cold winter day, You know, they took a shower, cold shower, or they shampooed with cold water in a cold winter day. Well, they may catch cold or not. Now, they caught cold. It's their mistake, right? Well, they could avoid the situation. Well, by faith, they may pray, Father, in this given situation, I cannot shampoo with warm water. So I have to shampoo with cold water. Please protect me. After praying, and then they can shampoo, then they will not catch cold. They will be protected. But, well, if they shampoo right away without such praying, according to the law of the flesh, they may catch cold. So it's their mistake. Okay? In any, I mean, if they consider situation trivial, then they may catch cold. So you have to know this well. Say, you take a shower, or you jump into the ocean. You have to prepare yourself. You have to exercise first. But, you know what? Sometimes, water may come into your ear, or germs in the water can go into your ear. But those with faith do not do like that. They always kneel down and pray to God first, or they give silent prayer. Father, I'm going to take a shower, or I will swim in the water. Please let no disease or germs and bacteria come inside my ear. They have to pray by faith. After that, they will be protected. Nothing will happen to them. The chances are like this. If they off the guard, by your mistake, you can get sick. You know, people of spirit should not make mistake. Since you live with the fleshly people, chances are that you can make this kind of a mistake. But if you prepare yourself like this, then you can be protected. It is the same with poison. If you have a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, no matter what kind of poison you drink, it will not harm you. However, it's not always true. You have to be careful all the time. You know what? Even if I drink poison, it cannot harm me. And you drink everything, well, you may get sick. You have to discern. You have to be careful. And you should not ignore poison. Without your knowledge, someone poisons a food, you will be protected. You may avoid the food, or nothing will happen even if you eat the food. You have to discern it well like this. Only then can you become true people of spirit. No, better people of spirit, or deeper level of spirit, or you are new people of spirit, and so you don't discern it well. In any case, if you trust the Father as His child, you will not have any reasons to fear something that has not happened. Father God once explained this to me. People of spirit can get sick, may get sick. Those who people of spirit, they were supposed to be sick when they were a people of flesh. But Father God may allow them to get sick after they come into spirit. They were supposed to get sick when they were a man of flesh. But, you know, because Father God loves them, Father God may refine them like this. You know, since they don't have faith as they were in the man of, as they were man of flesh, that they cannot overcome it easily by faith. But once, after they came into spirit, you know, since they have that much in the faith, they can easily overcome. They depend on Father God. They believe in Father God so they can easily pass the test. So they may face trials that they were supposed to face in the level of flesh after they came into spirit. That is, unless you choose to live in sins and evil and have no intention of circumcising your heart, if you're trying your best to change yourself in your measure of faith, you can just trust the God of love. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." We know God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. All things work together for good. I said, I hope you will always dwell in love and peace by trusting the Father who protects His children and who works for the good in everything. In doing so, I pray in the name of the Lord that you may cultivate perfect love and may be confident before God. Being confident before Father God. To be confident before God. I mean, if you're confident before God, God will make everything work for the good, and impossible things will become possible. Okay, such blessing will follow you naturally. But for some other people, they know the truth outwardly. Even if they committed sin leading to death, of course they repented, and they don't commit it anymore. But even if they repented, the wall of sin is not completely demolished. So, Father, I love you. Do you love me, right? What would Father say?
No.
You should discern it yourself. In the past, you committed sin, but you don't do it anymore. So you say you love God. But Father God says, He should say, okay, I know you do love me, and I love you too. But, what I'm saying is, you cast off the things that you have to cast off. Deficiency of the body, the shortages of the flesh, you have to get rid of them all. Everything. For example, those who had adulterous mind, they might have lust in their hearts. And because of the lust, and that they committed adultery. But they repented and they cast it off. So, Father, I love you, since they cast it off. Then would Father say, okay, would He say so? Then what should I do? You may ask. You have to get rid of the nature of lust and adulterous mind completely. You have to take the root out, pull it out. In any given situation, if you have no adulterous mind or lust, nothing, nada in your heart, and if you're confident about it, then Father God will say, okay, you love me. I love you, Father. Then Father God will say, all right, I love you too. This kind of trust relationship should be made. You are forgiven of your sin, and you don't commit sin leading to death. So you don't go to hell. However, the relationship between you and God is not perfect yet. Do you want me to give you more examples? You have a child. And He did mistake. He did evil. On father's birthday, when there were many brothers, the child, the son, drank too much and ruined the party, the birthday party. His father should be, you know, happy. There were many siblings, many brothers and sisters, but he drank too much and he ruined the party. Now, father God would be uncomfortable, and brothers will not feel good because, you know, he would be ashamed in front of many neighbors and friends. Now, this son, repent. Father, on your birthday, I drank, and I did evil to make you ashamed. And I made my brother is in a shame. Please forgive me. Well, do you think it can be easily forgiven? It cannot. Because he was too much ashamed in front of his friends and his neighbors. But his son begs for, you know, forgiveness. So the father will forgive him. However, it's still there, the uneasiness. Now, between son and father, that uneasy feeling remains there. Then both parties will not feel good toward each other. Now, what should be done? The son should truly repent and beg for forgiveness again and again. He should repent this time and next time until father's anger is completely melted out and disappear. Now, when can it go away? When the son, he did it last year, and he did it this year. I have no idea he will do it again next year. Well, if the father thinks like this, then he cannot be feeling easy. However, if the son truly changed, and he will never do it again. If he is confident about his son, then and the son can do the things which can assure his father of what he will do next time. And if he is recognized for doing that, then truly they can truly be reconciled. Reconciled. Truly. My family, someone drank too much. And whenever he drank, you know, I heard it. You know, my mother always worried about him all the time. Even when he was not around, even when he is around, she worried. He always made my mom worry. Well, I didn't do that myself. But he did that. And he came home, you know, drunken. Sometimes, you know, my mother feel happy. Now, of course, you know, mother can laugh, could laugh. But when he was not around, he always worried about him. Whether he would drink and, you know, make mistakes. She got worried about it all the time. Now, in this situation, now, do you think you can call that son a good son? He gives you worries all the time. If you want to make a good son, then you should make your mom never worry about you. Or better, You have to please your mother. That is better, isn't it? Instead of worries, if you can give her pleasure, it is better, isn't it? First of all, you should not make your parents worry. You should not. Or even better, you should please your parents. Not just saying, with your lips, I love you, mother and father. If you can truly please your mother and father, you can truly become a good son to your mother and father. Between you and your children, it is the same with you and Father God. Father God should recognize you and acknowledge you. He will never commit sin again. When Father God should acknowledge you right like this, if you have perfect peace, if you can make perfect peace between you and Father God like this, then you can stand on the rock and come into spirit. Someone said, I will become a Mary, I'll become a woman like Mary Magdalene. If she decided to become Mary Magdalene, she should first know who Mary Magdalene was, how much she loved the Lord, how much she was loved by the Lord. She should know that first. But without knowing it, she just said, I would like to become Mary Magdalene. Now, can she become a lady like Mary Magdalene? She should learn what Mary Magdalene did, and she should resemble Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene never betrayed. She never betrayed the Lord. She never deceived the Lord. She never hurted the heart of the Lord. She never loved the Lord, loved the world. She always thought about how to serve the Lord, how to please the Lord, how to comfort His heart. How to become strength to the Lord. She always thought about this and served the Lord without seeking her own benefit. Even though she had to work so hard, every income she got, she served the Lord, she served His disciples. She washed the Lord's disciples to give comfort to the heart of the Lord. She served the Lord like this. Now, you have to ask whether you are doing like this. But without doing it, you say, I'll be a lady like Mary Magdalene. And later, you love a man or you betray the Lord. How much would Father God be angry? Now I explained. I think you should understand what you should do. How to ease, the heart of Father God or the Lord. I explained. Until the anger is gone from Father's heart or Lord's heart, you have to work more, harder, to become sanctified, to become beautiful bride of the Lord. You should live your life like this. You should show such enough fervor and enthusiasm. And when God sees you like that, and your debt will be gone, and your sin will be gone. And without it, you just say, I'll be like Mary Magdalene. There are people who confess like this. So you should know. You don't know how much wall of sin you have before God. Just being forgiven is not enough. You should completely erase any remains. Let's say you have a stain on your white dress. Now, depending on what stain it is, the white dress can be white again, or the stain may remain there forever. Even if you wash it again and again, some clothes can become white. However, even if you wash it 100 times, the stain may remain still. Some stains can be washed off if you wash it 10 times. It depends on the stain. Do you understand? It is the same with the matter of sin. I just made an example of son and mother, right? How much you made father God angry or mother angry? It depends how much they got angry, and it depends on how much you do to erase the anger from their hearts. To make the anger completely gone, what you should do? You have to know this. Your parents passed away and they are in heaven. They passed away. Now that's it. Well, you're wrong. If you truly repented, and if you didn't become pleasure to your parents when they were alive, what should you do? What should you do? Even though they are in heaven, they are looking down on you. And they are expecting something from you. They are expecting you to turn back right away, even at this point, and live in the goodness and the light and come to good heaven. That's what they want, and that's how they can be pleased. If you live your life with this, then even if you didn't do a good job when they were alive, you can make them feel good, you can make them happy, even though they passed away. You didn't serve your parents right, but they passed away. No, you are still alive. Then you should live your believing life like this. Well, in the beginning, initially, you may do like this for a couple of months. However, 6 months later or a year later, well, your fervor cools down. Then you, initially, you decided to do good job for the parents who passed away for a couple of months. To make your parents happy, you should know how they can be happy in heaven when they look down on you. Then it's obvious. You should live in goodness and the light by the word to go to good heaven. That is doing good job and to serve your parents right. And it is a way to compensate your wrongdoings in the past. I gave you many examples. So, the thicker the wall of sin before God is, the harder it is to demolish. However, you have to demolish it. And how you can do it, that's what I explained. You understand? So because of this, even though you have wall of sin, there are people who don't come into spirit, and it takes long. Those who don't stand on the rock yet. There are people like this. Well, they must have stand on the rock. Well, with that fervor and faithfulness, he must have come into spirit, but they are not yet. They might have received word, the measure of note, the note of measure, but I touched you, okay? You think the wall of sin is gone, but there is still remains. or remnants. You still have wall of sin, or you still have deficiencies of the body. You have to erase them all. Even if you wash them off, to Father God's eyes, the stains still remain there. I'm not saying you cannot wash it off. If you're faithful and pray, then it can be washed off again and again. You may wash it like 10 times or 100 times. If you continue to do like this, in the end, the stain will be eventually erased. It can be whitened. As you do so, you can come into spirit. That stains, you should remove anyway, by all means. So because of that, some people face refinements even after they came into spirit. But if they don't erase it, they stagnate. To go further into whole spirit, they have to remove the stain. Otherwise, they will stagnate. Say, you got good faith. You reached like a 40 or 50% of the fourth level of faith. Now, in the past, you forgot the stain that you should have erased when you were in the level of faith. I mean, the fleshly faith. Well, you don't remember. And you don't make progress because of that. To help you progress, Father God will help you or make you face trial to find the remain, to find the stains. So, even if you come into spirit, you may face trials. The stains you should have removed when you were in the fleshly faith. You were faithful, you prayed hard, and Father God acknowledged you, now you came into spirit. Now, even after you came into spirit, the stains still remain, so Father God will let you face trial to erase those stains. To come into all spirit, you have to remove that stain. Without it, you cannot come into all spirit. Those who are like 10% of the fourth level of faith, to proceed to the 20%, they may have to face those trials, not to stagnate. The Father God may work like this. So you have to discern it well, these cases. Those who are stagnating in the level of faith, but do not know why. They may stagnate because they don't know why. Some people stagnate for a year or 2 years. They remain between 10 and 20% in the fourth level of faith. And it takes about a year or two for them. So you have to know why. And you have to know what is stagnation, what is the deficiency of the body. And you have to completely wash it off, and make quick progress. Okay? Apostle John continues to explain about spiritual love. It is said, we have no fear and we can be confident on the judgment day if we cultivate perfect love. Furthermore, we can love God because God and the Lord loved us first. Father God, do you think you loved God first? No way. There is supposed to be no one who thinks like that. Today's scripture, verse 19 says, we love because He first loved us. People usually love a person who loves them. If a person is good to them, commands them, respects them, then they can be nice to that person too. On the contrary, if a person hates them, reveals their faults and points out their shortcomings. It's difficult to love such a person. Amen? You should love even such people, right? Fleshly people cannot say yes, cannot say amen, but spiritual people should say amen, huh? People of spirit can love even those who hate them, right? Those, you know, who reveals their faults or points out their shortcomings. You should love them if you are people of spirit. A teacher, he is a teacher in Sunday school. He practiced, you know, he used violence to a child. Just pushing a child away is a violence too. Now, what about the child? If the child is good, the child might say nothing. Or the child might, you know, report it to their parents. You know, the teacher hit me so bad. So, the child doesn't come to church. And because of that, his friends left the church. Now, the teacher committed the sin of murder because he murdered many people. In that case, what would the Lord say? You should be drowned in the sea with the stone around your neck. Such a terrible warning is given. So you should never do that. Our teachers. Now, some people fall into this category. Many years passed by. Now, they got sick. Because, you know, they murdered so many people. Many people didn't come to church because of that. So it is a great murder. And they don't realize why. They have no idea when they committed sin of murder. Because many years passed by. Or they thought it was trivial. But it was a sin of murder. Because many children got in the trouble. And it hindered the glory of God. There is a case like this. Now, the teacher thinks, you know, I never skipped in the Daniel prayer meeting. I prayed all the time, but why my faith doesn't grow up? Of course, the faith cannot grow up, but he doesn't know. There is a case like this as well. So it's difficult to love, you know, such a person who reveals their faults and points out their shortcomings. Therefore, a saying goes, nice words for nice words. People pay back evil with evil. But those who close the spirit, they should pay evil for evil. That they should pay goodness for evil. They should pay back evil with goodness. Even though there is no good word, even though you hear no nice words, you should speak in the nice words. They are the one who will come into spirit. Well, there is a saying that goes, you know, nice words for nice words. How can I speak nice words for that? Of course you can. To become a man of spirit, you should be able to do that. But God says we have to pay back evil with goodness. This is it. You should pay back evil with goodness. Not evil with evil, but evil with goodness. You should be able to do this. God says we have to love not just those who are nice to us, but also those people with whom we cannot really get along with. You should be like this. I think it's easy, but to some people it's not easy. Isn't it easy? Or it's easy only to some people, but it's not easy to others? You should make it happen. You don't want to stay in the flesh. You don't want to go to paradise or the first kingdom of heaven. You want to come into spirit. You want to go to New Jerusalem. And you want to come into the castle of the shepherd. Then you have to make it happen. Can anyone come into castle of the shepherd? You should be recognized and acknowledged by the Lord and Father God to come to that place like that. It's a payback. You must show the evidence of your love for Father God, for the Lord. Not with love, not with words, but with deeds. We have to love not just those who are nice to us, but also those we cannot really get along with. Our Lord says in Matthew 5, verses 46 and 47, "For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have?" Even worldly people do this. If people love them, they also love them. If they are nice to others, others nice to them, and they can be nice to others too. But if you do so, and if you think you did goodness, do not even the unbelievers and even sinners, like tax collectors, tax, do the same. If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Gentiles do the same. You know the truth. You love God. Then you should much better than these Gentiles. Loving those who love us back can be done by almost anyone. We, as the children of God, there are many children of God who cannot do like this. Even between husband and wife, even between husband and children, even between brothers and sisters, they don't do this. It's nonsense, isn't it? But you know what? They cannot make it happen. Nowadays, there are so many people like that who don't do this. We, the children of God, have to cultivate spiritual hearts to love even our enemies, not just those who love us, because we have first received such love. Father God loved us first, and Father God said we should love each other. It was by His love for us that Jesus came to this earth and was crucified. Those who were stained by sin could not recognize the Son of God. Jesus healed the sickness and infirmities and gave people only good things while preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. But rather than loving Him, they hated Jesus, renounced Him, and eventually crucified Him. But even when He was being crucified, Jesus showed them even greater love. He prayed for those sinners, saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Because he had the power as the Son of God, he could have come down from the cross if he had wanted. He could have summoned heavenly hosts and angels and destroyed those who were crucifying him in a moment. But Jesus didn't do that. Because he could save the sinners only by enduring all the mockeries and contempt and dying on the cross. God the Father gave his precious only begotten Son for sinners. And even after that, he didn't leave them as orphans. That's why Father God sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit takes care of our hearts like a mother. Holy Spirit has always done that. Father God even sent the guardian angel. The guardian angel always knocks on your heart. He sent the Holy Spirit to guide us our lives. Moreover, you met a true shepherd and precious church, and you were being guided to a way of blessing that you could never take on your own. All of these are in the love of God who gives us unconditionally. It's not that we deserve to receive this love, but it is solely the grace of God who loves us first. Because we have received this love first, we cannot help but love God. Furthermore, since we have received such great love, and if we have conscience, we shouldn't dare hate anybody. If you are forgiven of billions of dollars of debt, we should never surprise another who owes us a couple of dollars and fails to pay it back. So, the verse 20 says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. You say you love God, but you hate your brother. The brother means your neighbor, your parent, brothers in faith, the same. They cannot love God whom he hates not sin. When you say you love God, it is a lie. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. You cannot love your brother who is visible, then you cannot say you love God who is not visible. So do not become a liar. You should truly love your brothers or neighbors. And you should say you love God. It is well written in the Lord's Prayer. You don't forgive your brothers, but you cannot beg for forgiveness from Father God. Our Lord says he will not forgive you. You should understand all this, and you should know, you should have no wall of sin before Father God. You should truly love Father God. I hope that you can become like this. What I feel sorry is that even though I delivered many messages, why can't you discern between spiritual love and fleshly love? Even though I explain what is spiritual love and what spiritual love is and what fleshly love is, fleshly love has nothing to do with Father God. You should give spiritual love, and that is recognized by Father God. You should give spiritual love. Fleshly love, it's just momentary. It brings forth in a betrayal. If it is not for their benefit, then they will betray. So it's useless. As time passes by, they will naturally betray. It becomes useless. And it will decay. And it will smell foul. When you are betrayed, you loved each other, but you are betrayed. then you will hate each other. You will try to kill each other. That is fleshly love, even between parents and children. Now, if parents truly give in a spiritual love, even if they don't believe in God, then children will give in a spiritual love. But most cases, they don't give spiritual love. There are parents. They hate their children because the children do not do as much as the parents want them to do. The parent is a professor, and his son does not treat him the way he pleases. So, the father said, "You are not my son anymore." So, we had a dinner together. And he was a dean in a university. But because his children didn't treat him or didn't do the way he pleased. He wanted his son to be a professor in a certain university, in a college. He didn't like the idea of becoming a professor. So the father said, "You are not my son anymore." And actually, he didn't call his son for a long time. So many, many years later, the son, came to greet his father. But, he can become a son in this church to go to, New Jerusalem. He got, doctoral degree. I saw the cases many times. There was a president of Joseon University. Mother and her children sued each other over money. And brothers and sisters sued each other too. It is not enough to emphasize on love. But that love should be spiritual love, otherwise it's useless. Please bear in mind. If it's not spiritual love, if it's fleshly love, it's useless. You have to get rid of it. You have to turn it to spiritual love, and true blessing can come to you. I may make another time to explain why. If you give spiritual love, if the one you give spiritual love has nothing to do with God, if you love the man, then you can also become pleasure to Father God. If you love the one whom Father God does not love, or stands against God, it become the woe to you. Okay, let us pray. Father God, bless this message to become faith and life in them. Father God is love. And you tell us to love each other. You say love is the best. And I explain what spiritual love is and what fleshly love is. Let them understand it. Let them get rid of fleshly love, which decays, but gives spiritual love that does not seek their own, but sacrifice themselves for others. Father God, thank you. Father, burn all diseases and germs by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Please lay your hands on the prayer request from other countries. Pastor Kyung Tae Chung from Japan bless him for Tokyo Tabata Mamin Church's summer Bible school and handkerchief healing meeting. Bless Pastor Sugil Lee of United Kingdom to be healed of injury of leg muscles and walking disorder. Walking disorder, be cleansed, may the light come. Bless Evgeny of Estonia for his brother Alex. He was sentenced to be in jail for 7 years. Bless him to receive a fair judgment at the final trial so that the truth will be revealed and he can give glory to God. Father, please bless him. Bless Wang Chi-won of Singapore to be healed of hepatitis B. Be burned by the fire of the Holy Spirit. May the light come. Bless Jo Ran-shang to be healed of cataract on her right eye. Be burned by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Bless Ri Ding-bong to be healed of deafness. And bless Ryu Shin-da to be healed of squint eyes. Bless Ryu Hui-jun to be healed of pale eyes. Bless May I J to be healed of diabetes. Be burned by the fire of the Holy Spirit and may the light come. There are many prayer requests by InVictory readers and viewers and TV and Russia viewers. Father, please give answers to their prayers and desires of their hearts. There are thousands of prayer requests. Please lay your hands on them and bless them. Father God, thank you. Our congregation, let them be healthy. Let them healthy be in spirit and body. Burn all diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. May the light come. Father God, thank you. Father God, for many weeks, protect them. Bless all their transportation and let them drive safely. Protect them. Father God, thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.